Concordia Publishing House's spring warehouse sale is both online and in-store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. from Friday, May 3rd through Monday, May the 6th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's spring warehouse sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's spring warehouse sale, May 3rd through the 6th. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Easter is a big day among Christians. There's no doubt about that, but maybe Easter is a big day for different reasons for different Christians. Your local big box church might make a big deal about Easter, but what's the big deal about Easter there? We're going to be talking about some bad Easter sermons during our feature This Week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So how big a deal is Easter for the local pop Christianity big box church?
Well, over and again, as we listen to sermons leading up to Easter in these large big box churches, they liken it to the Super Bowl of Christianity. And they really have a habit of putting a strong emphasis that people in these big box churches need to invite their friends, their neighbors, their families, because this is, after all, the Super Bowl of Christianity. And they rightly recognize that many people will attend Easter services who may not be all that interested in coming for a normal Sunday service. And so in the big box churches, they see this as an opportunity to get exposure of their, for their big box church to an audience that they have not yet reached. So it's a big opportunity for church growth. That's usually how they emphasize it and how they pitch it. And that's the idea.
And while at the same time, just to kind of by way of contrast, a lot of these churches say on Christmas are closed for business, aren't they?
Yeah, that if a Sunday service falls on Christmas Sunday, they will generally not have a service at all. So that is absolutely true. That's a standard thing in the big box mega churches now.
So this is marketing opportunity. Is that the way to think about it?
Yeah, this is this is the idea of tapping into new markets and growing your bottom line. And they're always looking at the metrics of nickels and noses, you know, how much money is coming in and how many people are there in attendance. This is the big metric. So they're constantly having a heavy emphasis on the numerical growth, numerical number of people attending. It's a big deal.
How would you summarize Easter preaching at most of these big box mega churches?
Abysmal. That's just like the one word that comes to mind. For 10 years now, we've been holding what we call the Worst Easter Sermon of the Year contest on my podcast. And I literally have gotten to the point where, as we approach this time of the year, I start to loathe what's coming next because people send me their candidates for the Worst Easter Sermon of the Year contest that we hold. And I preview all of these things. And it is such a rarity nowadays to hear any kind of an evangelical preacher properly, substantively divide law and gospel and then preach Christ and Him crucified and bodily risen from the grave for the forgiveness of our sins, justification, reconciliation with God. And instead, you don't know where they're going to go exactly, but there's certain predictable patterns that I've noticed over the decade that you put them into these major buckets. And so we tried to find samples of the different ways in which the preaching goes wrong rather than finding five versions of the same way that they go wrong as we take a look at that today.
Who are we going to hear from first?
We're heading down first to Venue Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, as we listen to Tavner Smith, the vision casting leader of Venue, really kind of emphasize and explain that It's a new day, and that's his theme, and that's what he's going to do with the text regarding the resurrection of Christ.
Matthew chapter 28, early on Sunday morning, listen to this, as the new day was dawning. It's a new day. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was an earthquake. The angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, sat on, and his face was like lightning, his clothing white as snow, and the guards shook with fear as they saw him. They fell into a dead faint, and the angel spoke to the woman and said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. He's risen from the dead." If this would have happened in our time, the angel would have been like, "He gone." That's what he said would happen. "Come see where his body was lying and go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead." I love this line. "And he's going ahead of you to Galilee." I just want to tell y'all, I don't care where you're headed in life, Jesus is already there. Because he's going ahead of us everywhere we go. He's preparing every season. I felt like you needed to hear that. And he said, "You'll see him there. Remember what I have told you." Because life ain't always going to be like this. So remember what I've told you. Remember that he got up. Remember that he went ahead of you. Remember that things are going to be different. Remember that, because sometimes they're not going to look different. Sometimes you're going to be going through some stuff, and you should think, "Man, this should be looking a little bit different. I followed Jesus. I went after this thing. I've been good. I paid my tithes. I showed up at church. I've been nice to my wife. I've been nice to my..." Something should be different. Sometimes you're going to have to realize, no matter what you see, remember what I said. It's a new day.
Yes.
It's a new day. I was kind of wondering, what does that mean? I just think everything Jesus does is significant. The fact that he resurrected on a new day. The actual description of the new day means the first day of a brand new week. When the new day was dawning, meaning when the close of the last season came to an end, he got up in a fresh season, a new day.
All right, Chris. I mean, he didn't come out and say Jesus didn't rise from the dead, so he kind of checks that box. How would you evaluate this?
So we'll put this into the broader category of narcissism, which is a form of Bible twisting that engages in two major errors. One is eisegesis, reading things into the biblical text that are not there, and then narcissism, where you really make the biblical text about yourself rather than whom they really are about. They are about Christ. And so you'll note, as he was working his way through Matthew's account of the resurrection, he paused along the way. So it says he's gone ahead of you to Galilee. And so he says, "Well, Jesus is ahead of you. He's in the future, or where you're going to go." You see how this works. And then it's this weird thing that he does, that, you know, he takes the text. This is a historical narrative, and it's such a big deal. We're talking about somebody who's been dead for 3 days, stone cold dead, having been crucified. And there's no doubt that he did not survive the cross. And on the third day, the grave is empty. He's risen from the dead. And there are all of these passages that tell us what that means, the significance of the resurrection. It's hard to understate it if you let the Bible actually tell you the meaning of this. And instead of going to any of that, he tries to make it about yourself. This is some kind of pattern. Jesus goes ahead of you. Things don't look like what you expect them to look like, but don't worry about that. You know, everything's going according to plan. And at the end of it, Tavner said nothing meaningful or significant about Christ's physical death for our sins, his bodily resurrection from the grave, which shows that Christ's sacrifice is received by the Father. We can now truly say that we are reconciled to God, that he's conquered the grave, one of our mortal enemies, pun intended. And he's nothing significant about Jesus. He's wrestling this resurrection narrative and making it about you. And in a way, that doesn't make any sense. But I guess if you have narcissistic tendencies, which is really where we're the most like the devil, you know, and our love for ourselves in that sense, you know, that this is somehow supposed to be comforting or assuring. But I've heard nothing here that even remotely sounds like it's touching on what the Bible describes as the meaning of what happened.
What's the next example of bad Easter preaching?
All right, so prepare yourself for word salad. We're heading to Bethel Church in Redding, California. Bill Johnson is, you know, one of the major gurus of the New Apostolic Reformation, and he's a signs and wonders guy. So when he sees the account of Christ's resurrection from the grave, this has, in his theology, something to do with the resurrection power and signs and wonders that you should be able to see and experience in your life.
Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. He sat on it. Not because he was tired. He sat on it. The throne of God is established on top of the obstacle to your miracle. He rolled away the stone not to let Jesus out. Jesus in John 20, after resurrected, walked through a wall. He can certainly walk through a stone. He rolled away the stone to let the observers see that it was empty. The veil was torn to let God out of the covenant because it had been fulfilled, but the stone was removed to let people in to see an empty tomb, the testimony of her own triumph and victory in every single situation in life. Jesus gave us a message that he is ready to back up. That message is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is within reach. The realm of God's dominion, the resurrection power of God is available for every situation, period. Every situation. It's tasteable. It's experienceable. And I believe that oftentimes what the Lord is waiting for is for a bold preacher. I don't mean from the pulpit. I mean from our positions and stations in life. You study boldness in the scripture. When somebody would take what God was saying and doing and they boldly declared it, it attracted God into an impossibility. In Mark 16, it was the Lord attending to the bold decrees of the people of God that caused there to be an ongoing, sustained outpouring of the Spirit. He rolled away the stone and he sat on it. That should make you happy. He just sat down. Why? Because it's finished. It's done.
Chris, I kind of noticed that his preaching of Christ's resurrection didn't need Jesus at all. It just needed an angel to sit on a stone.
Right. You'll note that he took elements of the passion of Christ, interwove them into his twisting of the resurrection narrative, and as a result of it, misplaced everything. So when he points out that, you know, because the angel sat on the stone, we should be happy. Why? Because it is finished. Whoa, wait a second. I thought Jesus said to Telestai right before he gave up his spirit and died while he was on the cross. And so you'll note then the emphasis is on the resurrection power. And so he, in his way of putting it, he said that Jesus's resurrection from the grave shows his triumph over every circumstance in our life, and that this resurrection power is now available for every circumstance, and that somehow the faith of the person who is bold to preach this stuff attracts God so that God wants to do the impossible. And no, the emphasis here is totally way, way, way off. And you were right in your evaluation. You don't really need Jesus here because Jesus rising from the grave is not the emphasis, is not the focus, is not the story. The story is the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave. That's now available to you so that you can, you know, experience resurrection power in every bad circumstance in your life. And now you don't need Jesus. In fact, resurrection power, you can almost change the, you know, the word, the phrase, and just use the force. You know, think like Star Wars, you know, the force that raised Jesus from the grave, that now, that force is now available to you to exercise and use in all of your circumstances. It's so really off, and who gets lost in the mix in all of this? Christ, and the fact that he rose bodily from the grave, that's not the emphasis. It's the power. That's what he wants. He wants to wield that power of God.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's our feature this week in Pop Christianity. Today we're going through some examples of bad Easter sermons, and we'll go from bad to worse on the other side of the break. Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Are you a high school guy or girl interested in theology and thinking about becoming a pastor or deaconess? Christ Academy High School at Concordia Theological Seminary is the thing for you. Spend 2 weeks worshiping and learning like a seminary student while having fun and building lasting friendships. Join us this summer at Christ Academy from June 16th to the 29th. Visit ctsfw.edu/ca for more info.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're listening to some excerpts of bad Easter preaching. Chris, what's next for us?
We're heading down to Lakewood. This is where Joel Osteen holds court. And we have to put this one a little bit in context. I've never been to Lakewood. You've been there. You've seen the production value that they put into their, you know, their services.
Very high.
Very high. Yeah, and you can really see that even in the replays on their website. So we have to put this in context. They have just spent a large amount of time with a very high production rock band show, praise and worship time, singing about Jesus's resurrection from the grave and his conquering and all this kind of stuff. It's all in there as far as the service is concerned. But Joel Osteen, during his sermon, isn't really going to even give much of even a nod to the resurrection of Christ. Instead, the sermon, the message, it kind of implies it based upon what's already taken place previously. And now he's going to deliver, this is the Easter sermon that he delivered at Lakewood. You can actually look at it on their replay right now on their website. And it's about, well, the best way I could put it, it's about how God has the last word.
I want to talk to you today about God has the final say. We all face situations that look permanent, like they're never going to work out, and it's easy to get discouraged and accept that it wasn't meant to be. But it's not over until God says it's over. The medical report may not look good, but that sickness doesn't have the last word. God has the final say. You may have struggled with an addiction for years, but the addiction doesn't have the final say. People may be against you. You have opposition, but people don't have the final say. No disrespect, but the doctor, the banker, the lawyer, the expert, the judge, they may be good people, but they're not on the throne. God is on the throne. Him being for you is more than the world being against you. God won't let you get in a problem that he can't get you out of. He wouldn't have let the three Hebrew teenagers be thrown into a furnace if he didn't know the fire wasn't going to harm them. King Nebuchadnezzar thought he was in control. He thought he had the final say, that the fire would finish them off. That's what always happened. But this time, he wasn't dealing with ordinary people. He was dealing with children of the Most High God. They came out without the smell of smoke. There's something about you that makes you unstoppable. You have an advantage. God not only breathed life into you, but he put a hedge of protection around you. Nothing can touch you without his permission. You're not at the mercy of bad breaks, sicknesses, accidents, people against you. None of that can stop your destiny. Well, if I can get this supervisor to like me, maybe I'll get the promotion. Now, you don't have to play up to people. When you go to work, be your best. Let your talent shine. Then when it's time for you to be promoted, all the forces of darkness cannot hold you back. Well, my boss doesn't like me. Your boss doesn't have the final say. They are a pawn in the hands of God. You are not doing life by yourself. God is behind the scenes, pulling strings, orchestrating things in your favor.
I don't even know what to do with that, Chris, because, I mean, we've gone from a guy who kind of talked about the resurrection in a narrative form but made it all about us, mm-hmm. to a guy who had an account of the resurrection where Jesus played absolutely no part. It was all about the angel sitting on a stone.
Mm-hmm.
To Joel Osteen, who that could be any of his sermons or chapters from his books from any occasion. No Easter connection, no resurrection connection at all.
Right. It's kind of implied. So if I had attended there, I would say, well, I mean, maybe this has something to do with the fact that Jesus was dead in the tomb, but God had the final say and he rose from the grave. But you have to make the connections yourself. And then on top of this, the theology in this is so awful. I mean, this idea that we're not ordinary people and that there's something in me that makes me unstoppable. But if I could beg to differ here, I'm quite unstoppable. In fact, there is a day coming when I will totally stop. I will be thrown, my carcass will be thrown into a box and they're going to bury it in the ground. I am most certainly stoppable. And every one of us, we're stoppable too. And so the fact that Christ rose from the grave, that he was stopped and he died and then he got up from the grave is huge, because the thing that we all face is that enemy death, that we have a payday coming due to the fact that the wages of sin is death. And Christ has paid those for us. He's risen from the grave. In our baptisms, we are united with him in his death and his resurrection. As Christians, as baptized believers in Jesus Christ, we can honestly say that we have one foot already out of the grave, because Christ has risen from the grave, and he was the unstoppable one, because we are utterly stoppable. And that's because of our sin and our rebellion against God. But none of that comes up. And what Joel is saying, it doesn't make any lucid sense unless you want to deny reality itself, which I think that the longer I pay attention to Joel and his preaching, the more disconnected from reality he seems to be, and the more disconnected he is from Christ and any type of a simple to understand proclamation of Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, a call to repent of our sins and to trust in him for pardon and peace with God. That message never seems to cross Joel Osteen's lips anymore at all, if it ever did.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's our feature this week in Pop Christianity. We're listening to Bad Easter Sermons. Perry Noble will bring us one right after this.
Another Lutheran dirge and other myths.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about this year's hymn sing at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We'll be doing some myth busting during our hymn sing. Double dare anyone to participate and walk away thinking Lutherans sing dirges. From God's Own Child to Lord Thee I Love. From Dear Christians One and All Rejoice to In Thee Is Gladness. Oh yeah. Lots of joy bursting out in song all over the place. And so sorry, not a dirge in sight. Real Lutheran church music.
Join Pastor Will Whedon and Issues Etc. listeners from around the world for a hymn sing at our one and only Making the Case conference in 2019. Making the Case is Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th on the campus of Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Come, Holy Spirit, Lord and Comforter. With words of truth, our feeble faith assure. These words open Mark Preuss's new Pentecost hymn for the Lutheran Church, available exclusively in the Lutheran Witness. Grab the May issue of the Missouri Synod's flagship magazine and dig into what the Bible and Lutheran theology have to say about the Holy Spirit, who he is, how he works, and what he wants for your life. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Concordia Publishing House's Spring Warehouse Sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. from Friday, May 3rd through Monday, May the 6th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Spring Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's Spring Warehouse Sale, May 3rd through the 6th. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our feature this week in Pop Christianity. We're listening to some examples of bad Easter preaching. Speaking of bad preaching and teaching, Nadia Bolz Weber has written a latest bestseller called Shameless, A Sexual Reformation, and I've reviewed this book. Very subtle, sometimes not so subtle, errors found in her teaching, not only about the ethics of sex, but also about the very gospel itself. She does not deny that Jesus died on the cross to save you from all your sins, but she does make it very clear in her book that you get to define what those sins are and aren't. You can read more in the online Issues Etc. journal. The article's called Did God Really Say? A Review of Nadia Bolz Weber's Shameless, A Sexual Reformation. You can subscribe for free. Issuesetc.org. Click the red subscription button, enter your email address, and we will send you the online Issues Etc. journal. Chris, we have one final cut. It comes from Perry Noble. Remind us of who he is and what should we expect.
Perry Noble is the former vision casting leader of New Spring Church in Anderson, South Carolina. He was removed from being a vision casting leader due to alcoholism, and he restored himself to ministry and planted a new church in that area named Second Chance Church. And you can't help but, as you're listening to his take on the resurrection, if it has more to do with Perry Noble than with anything. And he's going to start first by talking about Tiger Woods and his fall and then his comeback. And, well, I'll just let Perry explain.
This is where I really got to learn the game of golf, is through this type. And Tiger Woods, for the next several years, he dominated golf. He won the Masters, like, I think, total of four or five times. He won all the major tournaments. He was getting endorsement deals. I mean, his life was he was at the top of the world. But then in 2008, he got a knee injury. And it always starts with something small. He tore his ACL. By the way, he played a tournament with a torn ACL and won it. But then things started to spiral out of control. 2010, it became public that his marriage, and by the way, marriage issues are hard enough to work through behind the scenes. Can you imagine having to do it publicly like he did? His marriage falls apart publicly, accusations of infidelity publicly, in and out of treatment centers. I mean, the guy's life, and he kept trying to come back and play golf. But he was so frustrated because he couldn't seem to win again. And then I remember this picture being shown when he got so frustrated, he kicked his putter. And this is where people are like, you know what? We think Tiger Woods is done. And it seemed like his life continued to spiral out of control. And everybody in this room that's aware of him, we all thought it was over in 2017 when he got arrested for DUI. So when he makes this comeback last week, the greatest comeback people are arguing of all time. I mean, people are absolutely going crazy. And the reason I got so emotional is I started thinking not just about my life, but I started thinking about the lives of people that I know, because there's some people in this room. Listen, your struggle isn't as public as Tiger's, but it's as painful. There's some people going through stuff in this room or watching online, and it's serious stuff. And you don't get the attention that this guy got. But you know what? You're feeling the same pressure. You're feeling the same pain. You feel discouragement. You feel doubt. Sometimes you feel fear. Sometimes you feel worry. And it kind of played right into the message that I feel like God wanted me to really focus on this Easter. So the comeback that I want to talk about today is not just Tiger's comeback. I want to talk about Jesus's comeback. And why? Because Jesus made a comeback, every single person in this room has the ability to make a comeback as well. Because Paul in Philippians said this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Okay, Chris, that was a nice review of Tiger Woods' career.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jesus was kind of tossed in. What's the parallel he's trying to draw between Tiger Woods' fall into really kind of grievous manifest sin, so much that it even shocked the secular world, and Jesus dying and rising again?
Yeah, I'm failing to draw the connection. If you want to say that Christ, you know, that God laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, Now we could talk about imputation and things like that, but that's really not the emphasis here. And you'll note that Tiger Woods really got the first billing in this sermon, you know, because it's Tiger Woods' fall and then comeback in winning the Masters 2 weeks ago that then frames how we're supposed to understand the resurrection and what Christ accomplished for us. And of course, because Christ, you know, had a comeback, because that's what the resurrection apparently was all about, you can have a comeback too. And in see, Perry Noble, he practices what he preaches, because, you know, he had a Tiger Woods-esque kind of fall himself. And see, because Jesus had a comeback, Perry Noble has a comeback too. Isn't that great how that works? I mean, it's, you can have a comeback, and that's just...
Okay, so this is different than forgiveness. I mean, mm-hmm. even if Perry Noble had said, Jesus died and rose again, and then that means that you all get your second chance or whatever it is, it's still not what Jesus actually died for, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, reading between the lines, you would have to conclude that the reason why Jesus died and rose again is so that you can achieve and experience the limelight and glory and people cheering you and singing your praise. You know, the emphasis is on you. I mean, because, I mean, everyone loves a good comeback story. So if the comeback story is occurring in your life, you're the one that's coming back. And then people are going, oh, this is just amazing. Great comebacks. This isn't absolution. This isn't the forgiveness of sins. This isn't repentance. This isn't sanctification. This is somehow making it so that what the cross achieves is that you get to have your celebrity status vindicated, restored, and in that kind of way. And yeah, it's something very different than repentance, forgiveness of sins, eternal life as a gift, things like that.
One of the things that I noticed was glaringly omitted from all four examples that you brought of bad Easter preaching, Chris, was some of them talked about Jesus rising from the dead. None of them said, because he has risen, one day he will stand upon the earth and raise you too. He will bring you out of your grave. He will restore you and transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body. And he will recreate heaven. He will recreate earth. And he will give us this life eternal, real life eternally, in his presence to us and to all believers. I didn't hear anything of our resurrection.
No, you really wouldn't hear that. And there's a reason for it, is because that's talking about, well, when Jesus returns. That's not relevant to this life and the here and the now and the present. That's pie in the sky and the by and by. You see, that's the way they think about this. So if Jesus is risen from the grave, the question is, what's the cash value for me in my life right now? Not when he returns. And, you know, they won't deny that, you know, when Jesus returns, there's a resurrection of the dead. They don't deny that. It's just that they don't talk about it.
So finally, Chris, was the God preached Easter Sunday at many of these big box mega churches, for all intents and purposes, more like the Easter Bunny than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Yeah, I would think that the God that was preached is more akin to Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, Zeus, Zool even, you know, but it has nothing to do with the God who is. The one who sent his only begotten Son was incarnate of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate for our sin and for our salvation. That God isn't the one that's preached at so many of these churches nowadays. It's a different God altogether.
Enough preaching like this, Chris. And what becomes of the Christian's faith in both Christ's bodily resurrection and the forgiveness of sins that will culminate in our resurrection on the last day? What becomes of that faith?
It diminishes greatly, to the point where there's a real danger that the God that they are believing in is an idol rather than the God who is. And idols are not capable of saving. And so they literally risk eternal salvation through this type of preaching that takes their eyes off of Christ and what he's done and puts it onto a false Jesus, a different Jesus, different spirit, different gospel, with a different message and a different thing that God has done for us.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. It begins in about 2 minutes right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. Listen at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week on Issues, Etc., we'll get a review of the movie Avengers Endgame with Pastor Ted Geese, and we'll have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller introduce us to the Old Testament book of Zechariah. We'll also talk with Ryan Anderson about a Supreme Court case involving LGBT rights. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This means that your forgiveness, your salvation, and your resurrection are sealed in Him. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.